Hello and welcome to our brand new podcast, episode one of I'm a Salesperson, Get Me Out of Here. I'm Ben Booth. I'm joined by Jack Smith, both working at Pareto. I'm excited. Are you, Jack?
Yeah, this is your first venture, obviously, in the podcast. I'm a vet now, so I'll go easy on you and guide you through.
Yeah, well, look, it's something that we were both talking about doing for a while, isn't it? You've obviously had the sales surgery before. Why did you want to start another one?
Yeah, I think what we both agreed is that there's maybe a few perceptions of sales, which when you first go into it, soon you realise what the reality actually is. So we wanted to uncover that maybe for graduates who are leaving university this year or anybody that's looking to go into sales. So they've got a bit of an awareness of what they're going into, making it sound really bad there, but actually maybe all the good stuff and what it actually is like. But also as well, maybe talking about a few funny stories that we've got from instances in sales. I remember a trip to Munich that we'll probably talk about at some point. And also, we've got such good network, so it'd be good to hear from other people hiring salespeople, what they look for, why they got into sales, and maybe using our network to be able to kind of explain more to people out there of what sales is like in B2B anyway.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I've been working in the recruitment side of Pareto for a few years now, placing people into entry-level sales roles, and having just moved into that role myself this year, there's certainly been some things I've not been expecting, and it's been more challenging and more rewarding in certain ways. So I definitely think that there is a gap, and I'm sure lots of people are in the same position where they want to hear a little bit more. They want to find out, you know, what's underneath the job spec and what we go through, because I think as salespeople, we work hard. You're right. You may be setting up to sound awful to begin with, but there's certainly loads of benefits that reap from it. And some of these funny stories, I guess, will allude to that as well.
Yeah, let's go into that then, because you've just kind of come into the world in sales. What did you think it was going to be like, and what have you soon realised is actually like where are the main disparities, you think?
Yeah, I thought, based on, you know, the experience I've had in good candidates I've spoken to and the work environment, I thought that being confident would get you miles and that would be one of the only things you'd have to focus on. I didn't realize that you'd have to be so organized and on it with your calendar, because I guess a lot of people out there will also appreciate there's no way that you'd be able to keep every connection you've got with every lead in your head, because you just go stir crazy. So that was something that quickly became apparent, that you have to be a very strategic, organized individual to excel. And actually that outreach to a client, whether that's on the phone or email, is only one part of it. It's all the other steps of the process that make that call worthwhile. And that was quite surprising to me, to be honest.
Yeah, you don't think of that, do you? First thing when you think of aspiring salesperson, you need to be organized. But I'm hearing more clients saying it now more than ever. I mean, because you're right, there's so many things you need to remember and to do, and there aren't enough hours in the day. And especially in lockdown, we don't want to be working from dark till dark and then kind of having an hour at your TV without people around us that we can buzz off and speak to. So, like, what have you found that works for you organization-wise? What did you quickly have to get into gear?
Yeah, everything goes in my calendar. And that's not just work things. You know, if there's an email session I'm doing, or whether it's a calling session I'm doing, right through to blocking out my lunch. And I think that's something we've spoken quite a lot here at Pareto, with salespeople being so driven, competitive, hungry. You mentioned the long working hours. It's actually important during lockdown to break that up, because you're right, we don't want to be sat our laptop screens at 9 o'clock at night every night. So everything goes in my calendar, which gives a lot more structure. And at least then you know, okay, these 2 days of the week, I'm clocking off at 5:30 because I'm going to, you know, go for a walk or go for a run, whatever. And the other 3 days, I can stay till whatever time. So I think everything that is worth doing is going in my calendar, because it just sets up your week nicely, I think. I hate going into tomorrow and thinking, right, oh, I don't know what to start with. I don't know what to do. I don't know what stage I'm at with X, Y, and Z. It's much easier to spend 5 minutes before checking it all in and then knowing exactly where you're going. I don't know whether that's something that you've seen happen more now we're in lockdown and out of the office.
I think so, yeah. I think in the office you can get away with more because I think that you are there for a certain period of time and maybe you stay later and don't plan as much and kind of you're in the attitude of you stay until it's done as opposed to when you're at home, you're there all the time. So you work in a certain amount, so you kind of organise more your time of what you need to do to make sure that you are generating the results you need to generate.
Yeah, I think that staying until it's done in the office is a good example because you stay until it's done and you've got a train to catch or you've got transport to catch. Whereas at home, you can stay until it's done and then it's so easy just to send that extra email. Or if you keep your laptop up, you're making dinner and kind of trying to do something at the same time. And it's just not a healthy way to work for me. I soon realized that after my first week in January where I was probably working 8 until 8:30, that's at night, obviously not the morning. But the actual work I was doing through the day wasn't as productive as now where I've got things blocked out and I can actually work hard for a few hours and clock off knowing that I've done more work than I probably was doing at the start of the year.
Yeah, fair. No, I completely, mate, that makes complete sense. What other stuff did you think, like you thought going into a sales role, you would need to be like this, or this would mean that you'd be successful, or it would be like this, has actually been different in reality?
Yeah, definitely. I think from doing a year and a half in recruitment, I thought I'd find cold calling a doddle. I thought I'd come in and just be able to smash it out of the park. I didn't quite realize the psychological difference from going speaking to, you know, a fresh graduate about a job that they're looking for to speaking to a busy CEO who's about to go into a board meeting who doesn't want to speak to you because you're another cold caller. So that hit me like a bit of a train, if I'm honest with you, in January. Funny story here at Pareto, my first ever cold call, I was getting pumped to do our famous like 9 calls before 9 o'clock. So 8:30, I dial a number and the person who picks up says, oh, who's calling? I was Ben at Pareto Law. And her response was, Ben, it's not even 9 o'clock. What are you doing calling me now? And just hung up the phone. And that was my first ever cold call. And yeah, it just came as a bit of a realization that it's going to come with practice. Like no one is used to being in that environment. And I think it's just about resetting your mindset through to every call, which is challenging. I've certainly found it relatively difficult, especially I think working from home, because you're not in the office environment where you've got 20 people around you doing exactly the same thing. It can be quite a lonely place when you have a bad call and you look around and there's no one there to debrief with. And, you know, it's not something you go to your manager for.
There's just a mirror staring at you and you're looking at yourself thinking, oh God.
Wiping the tears away. But that's been one thing I found challenging. And I think I would have found it challenging if we were still in the office anyway, but it would have been less of a challenge. And, you know, virtual onboarding and things like that, things that Pareto are educating on with the sales surgeries and we're operating ourselves. But I think that's something that in sales is even more important to get right, certainly for a graduate entry level, because this is an activity that people won't have done before.
Yeah, big time. And like there's things like call listening, which are more difficult on Zoom. And there's coaching sessions, which it just needs a bit more planning and thought around how you can do it, be it Zooms, be it Teams, be it whatever platform you use. And I think, cold calling is an interesting one, isn't it? Because you go in there like a pumped up balloon and slowly each no, you're letting a little bit of air out and you're kind of drooping down in your confidence and how you can do that. But there are loads of really good influences and people that you can subscribe to and follow on LinkedIn to give you great advice. You kind of Josh Braun's, Morgan Ingram's, John Barrow's, James Say What Sales, Buckley. There's loads of people, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they've been really helpful as well as another source of information, because you probably wouldn't get to see them as much if you're in the office, because you do perhaps a little bit less LinkedIn scrolling and things like that. I think one other thing on that being remote as well is that the wins of booking a meeting is still incredible. I remember booking my first meeting on a Zoom call power hour with everyone kind of staring at the screen, looking to egg you on. And I think that like that euphoria is still there. I'm not trying to scare people off and say it's horrible because you speak to these people who don't want to speak to you all the time. But the wins are certainly still there. When it's tough, it is maybe more tough because there's no one around you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like we're painting a massively negative picture of getting into sales, but look, there are some amazing bits. And the wins of the first meeting, the first deal signed, the first time you hit quarter, the first big paycheck, the first promotion, there's little wins there that properly get to you because you worked so hard for. So there's a lot of success to be had within that, but God, it's hard work to be able to get there. It's not like, I would say it's very different to school. School, everything's for you and given to you, and your teacher is there to help you with your work for your exams, for you to pass and get a good grade. Whereas when you go out into the business world, everything's for them. How you can help someone, what value you can provide them, how you're going to be able to support their business become more efficient, or a piece of software that's going to enable them to run more profitable. That was good for me to say.
Yeah.
It's just a complete mind switch, and being able to do that and switch into that's really important.
Yeah. I think it's one of the jobs that you've got to balance you and them much more than you do in any other job, because I completely agree that, you know, everything you're doing is for the benefit of a client or other people a lot of the time, but actually, you know, your targets are controlled a lot of the time by you. And, you know, the best way to do that is to know your numbers and work out, which I know we'll come on to an episode of this, but I feel like you can tangibly measure your work much more in a sales role than you can in many other roles. I know from a day if I've been successful or not, based not only on my kind of output, but also my input. So if my activity's there, it's been a successful day. And I think a lot of other roles, you struggle to feel that.
Yeah, big time. So look, let's take it back a step. When did you realise you wanted to go into sales? You studied law, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So I chose law because it was a relatively safe degree. I wanted to be a physiotherapist and didn't get the grades, basically. So went on a gap year and chose law when I was out there.
Barrister. So you've got to turn down to be a physiotherapist. So you wanted to become a barrister.
Yeah, they go hand in hand, I think. similar transferable skills. But no, I was making loads of applications for a placement year, and actually must have made an application to Pareto and got a call from someone at Pareto who said they've got a graduate management scheme coming for a placement year, and do I want to read a bit more about it? I think at the time I was perhaps a little bit desperate in that I hadn't got loads of applications come through, but
so you hadn't decided on sales at that point?
Not at all. It was only when I read through job descriptions and tied it up to what I thought I wanted from a career that I thought it was going to be a good option. And that's something that I see when I speak to candidates every day. You know, I'm not expecting anyone to tell me that they wanted to be a salesperson when they were 4 years old because they went to a market in Spain and the way that someone sold them a bracelet was just incredible. I think looking at job descriptions and what you want to get out of a career, you can almost take it from a step back and see that it's a good route to go and do that. So for me, that was wanting to get into management as quickly as possible and having a role where I was going to be challenged every day.
And it comes from... So you wanted something that we get to management as quickly as possible and to be challenged every day. But then obviously when you're in it and it's as difficult, what's driving you to do it day by day, if you know what I mean? Like, as in you could join Tesco's and become a manager.
Yeah, that's true. I think the thing that really attracted to me is the transferable skills. You're right, I could join a role with Tesco's, but would I be speaking to C-suite level individuals every day and being in that ballroom of fighting, giving their match? I think that it's a role that is challenging every day, and that's maybe not what you get in different roles. The other element that I love about sales is the recognition. Money comes along with that, but for me, you know, being highly competitive, I've got four sisters, and always wanting to kind of be top of that pile, sales is a really good way to do that, because not only can you do that on your output, but you can do it on your activity as well.
Yeah, no, completely. I was just thinking about when you were talking about there in terms of like in that battle, when you're prospecting and kind of in that environment, because would you say that's a good aspect of sales? Because some people would probably listen to that and think, God, that sounds awful. I don't want to be in that stress day to day. Like how would you describe it when you maybe just started out cold calling and you've been doing it for what now, like 5 weeks, 6 weeks?
Yeah, about 5 weeks, yeah.
And you get in a battle with a decision maker and you're desperate to book the meeting. Like, how are you feeling when you're doing that? And what's kind of, yeah, talk me through those emotions.
Yeah, I think to begin with, tough. Like, you come off a call, almost shake a little bit, heart rate's going, because you feel as if you are slightly inferior. You know, you're ringing someone who is 20 years down their career.
Yeah, why are they going to listen to you when you've been doing it for 4 weeks?
Exactly. And I think actually something that was really drilled down on our sales fundamentals training is that, you know, we're doing these people a favor. We are getting in contact with them for a reason, to give them a benefit as well as us. Sales isn't a one-way benefit street, is it? It's two ways. And I think once you've got that in your mindset, all of a sudden you're not calling to pester someone, you're calling to offer them an opportunity. And once I've got or started to get that mindset, cold calling becomes a little bit easier, because you've got the mindset that these people do want to speak to you, rather than, oh, if I got a call like this, you know, if I got a call from an insurer about an accident I had 4 years ago, my first instinct is to put the phone down. That's not these people's instinct if we're generally trying to help.
Yeah, big time. I mean, that's what got me. I went into a business development role, God, it was 5.5 years ago now. And I struggled.
I know, that we can tell that from the picture on the podcast.
The picture, the hairline, it all, the jawline, it all adds up. But I struggled with that inferiority complex. And my manager at the time still says I would have been successful if I'd have kept going. But I just didn't have that belief to go into it. Luckily, I'm stupidly hardworking and was willing to work for the business and show great loyalty, which meant that there's a position for me down the road and I've been able to do some great things. But it was that feeling that you're on the phone to someone and why on earth are they going to listen to me? I'm 22 years old. They're however old, how much experience, but you're right. It is having that confidence and belief that you've got something that they want or need and would benefit them to offer that to them.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? Because obviously you started Pareto a long while before I did, and you went into that business development role and then kind of transitioned into a management role and then up the account management route. And, you know, I've won salesperson of the year at Pareto, so I've been an incredibly successful salesperson. What do you think was the kind of turning point at where you were finding business development really tough to begin with? Was there a light bulb moment, or was it just come through, like you said, then hard work?
Yeah, there's a few things. So I got promoted into business development after 2 months of the graduate management position, because I just used to smash the phone. I used to say, if you're not on the phone, it's power hour. Because the reason I got into sales as well is that I went to Nottingham Trent, did history, got a 2-2, and honestly thought I'd ruin my chances at a good career with a 2-2. So I applied for Pareto about 6 months after I left university, having just done an office job to get some experience, and came in and really needed to make it work. It wasn't a case of wanting and having an option and thinking, oh, I'll give this a go. I needed to make myself a success, because I'd always said to my sister that I was way smarter than her, and she left uni with a 2-1 and I got a 2-2. So a bit of egg on my face there. So I just used to just hunt grads down, made 150 calls a day, and smashed my first two targets. With that, they thought, look, he hits the phone, he'd be perfect in a BDE role. So they put me into BDE role, and actually I wasn't ready. Confidence wasn't there. Skill level wasn't very high. I was just the numbers guy who would hit it, but I'd always work hard, get involved, had a good internal brand for working hard and wanting to make it work. But I always had a niggle in the back of my mind thinking, do you know what? I think I'd much better be suited to the graduate management manager role. Team leader, it was called. You don't want to be called graduate manager manager.
GM squared.
Yeah, GM squared. Yeah, that's actually quite good. We should do that. But there wasn't a position. So there came a position. I've been in it 6 months. I had what really told me in BDE that I wasn't going to make it is when my target started to ramp. Our target started by 4-4-4 and hit the first two. Second one, I struggled. Third one, I just wasn't getting any better and getting any closer. So inquired about the position. Luckily, the person in the role wanted to move on and then made my success within that. I managed the team for a couple of years.
Yeah, I think that's going to be quite refreshing for a lot of people listening, certainly who are in maybe their early career in sales. And for a lot of people, that'll have been very tough with what's going on in the world at the moment. That if you're building a good brand and you've got that hardworking attitude, then this isn't the only route to make it. You know, you now are a salesperson and probably by self-explanation.
No need for the smirk when you say that.
A salesperson. But a very good one as well. And it's showing that you don't have to be just that kind of out and out hunter salesperson to make a success at it, do you?
No, not at all. I think, look, when we talk about internal brand, that can mean a lot of different things for a lot of different companies. That Pareto used to mean being at the pub after assessment day and on a Friday and kind of being the last one to leave, we always used to say was a good sign for either the graduate of the assessment day or for Pareto. So it was a little element of that, but also it was putting your hand up and saying, yeah, I'm happy to give that a go. I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to get involved, to always work hard. And I never stopped trying to hit my target. It was just, I lost the belief in my ability to do so. So it was that, my will was there in terms of me wanting to do it and trying to do it, but my belief was missing and my skill wasn't there. So I think what Pareto saw in me is someone that would always work hard, was a great part of the team, and luckily there was a position for me. And do you know what? That might not always happen, but I think you always want to leave a position in a better spot than when you started it. So whether that's from people saying, giving you recommendations, or whether that's learning skills, or whether that's feeling more confident. And luckily I was in a position where it worked out. And then after managing the team for 2 years of graduate managers, I decided that actually I couldn't rest on people to hit my target. I wanted to hit myself and moved into account management, and the rest is history.
Yeah, you say obviously that the hard work was probably your number one drive. And then you said, luckily you're in a position that made it work. Do you think, as someone who, you know, we both ran an assessment center this morning for graduates, do you think then that if they've got the same attributes that you had back then, they've got the hard work, they've got the ability to bring a good brand, do you think those are the two most important things that they can bring to a sales career for any listeners who are wanting to get into it now and see themselves in that position?
Yeah, good point. I think the one thing I didn't do enough was self-develop. I kind of trusted I was kind of the person that was hitting my head against the wall and hoping that after hitting my head 1,000 times, there'd be a hole in it. When actually I ended up with just a massive bruise. So it didn't quite work. So I didn't kind of look at the skills, and we did coaching sessions at the time, but I wasn't in a space where I was practicing it, looking externally, didn't read enough or books around prospecting and give myself the tools to go in there and be able to open the door. So I think sales, no, it's only what, 5.5 years ago, so I'm not going to say it's changed loads, but there are so many other avenues now. LinkedIn just kicked off in terms of social media and what it's now a library of content for people to go and find and be able to receive daily. Whereas at the time of LinkedIn, it wasn't really like that. It was mainly a networking site. and people weren't posting as much.
It's certainly, I mean, even in the last couple of years, it's turned far more educational, hasn't it, LinkedIn? And I think you're right on that self-development point. It's something that a lot of businesses are realizing is really important. But also, I think it's important to flag that for an individual, you've got to take ownership of yourself, because like you said, businesses run coaching sessions and will help train, but actually it's about what you go and do in your own time that learn far more. And this podcast will hopefully act as a bridge for some of that for people, in, you know, us sharing stories of people who've said that it's really important, but also we can point out things. I know you mentioned people like Josh Braun on LinkedIn. We could definitely share a few sales books that have really helped us in our careers. But definitely self-development is something that people should be considering in sales or outside of sales.
Yeah, big time. Andy Bowen's a big one as well, who we had on the last podcast. But he always says, he posts a video a day almost of training that he's done. And he always says, try this in your own words. Get this in your own words. Make sure that you're able to say this comfortably and confidently. Because if you're just saying what someone else has told you to say and you're not sure in it, there won't be the level of conviction there. So you need to make sure that you've practiced it in your own words, you feel confident with it, and you're happy in saying it. Because then otherwise, if we go back to where I was and where you are, you're of the belief that you're going to be able to offer value because you're confident in what you're going to say, whereas I didn't have that belief because I wasn't confident in what I was going to say. So you're right, in terms of the self-development and practicing it, it's really, really important now.
Yeah. And that ties on really well, you know, the conversation initiated on what are the realities versus the perception of sales. I think one of the key realities is you do learn so much in this job, not just when you're working from 8:30 till 5:30 or 6:30, but actually in the periods outside of that where you're wanting to develop because of X, Y, and Z. You know, if I look back to 6 weeks ago now, the amount of stuff I've learned about communication techniques, being able to negotiate in a meeting, there's so many things there that I can implement in other parts of my life, which is great, you know, when it's part of your work.
Yeah, big time. Well, look, that's, I think we'll wrap that for now, and I think that's brilliant to start us off on. I know you were keen to ask people if people want to listen to anything in particular or want to hear anything or any tips and advice, then please drop us either a comment on the post that we're going to do or message us on LinkedIn. It's Jack Smith and Ben Booth at Pareto. And we're looking to have a few guests come on. We're still deciding who to ask, but we're definitely also looking at sharing some stories that we've got too. Ben, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think a big part about working in sales is being able to share stories of times where things have gone wrong, because everyone has been in those situations. And that's part of what we want this podcast to be. We want it to be a place that people can relate to and say, oh, you know, yeah, I've sent an email to the wrong person and it's had this effect. And we want to hear them, because although we want to develop people, we also want people to know they're in the same boat. So yeah, really keen to hear what people want here, but also if anyone's got any stories that they want to share, we'd love to get some guests on.
Yeah, I love that. Because we're not sales trainers. We are not like the masters of industry yet. We are just people that have started out in sales at different levels that want to share experiences, because maybe there's not a podcast out there for people that are want to laugh at stupid things that have happened in sales, but gain a little bit of an insight and hear from other people about it. So yeah, hopefully you guys enjoy it. I feel like episode one went okay.
Hopefully by episode two we'll have the proper theme tune to introduce us. We'll see. It could be me and you singing it, Jack, but
yeah, maybe.
Spot on. But well, excellent, episode one complete. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, stay safe, guys.
Cheers.